And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, coming to you from Worldwide Christian Radio. We're being heard in well over 100 countries around the world. How do we know? Well, we get mail and email and all kinds of things from our friends overseas. So glad to hear from you. And you know, it seems that the New World Order is progressing around the world, and people everywhere are finding it. We're going to discover that today and giving you some of the secrets that we have today, because this is another volume of Our Secrets. We do this once a month, cover a number of matters, news behind the news that the control media dare not touch. You know, I was recently reading the Bible again in Matthew, where it says in Matthew 10:26, and this, by the way, is a promise of Jesus. It says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that shall not be known. For there is nothing hidden which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come to light." Wow. "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed." They try to cover it. They sneak around in their closets. But we open the door and shine the light on these little rascals, and, well, they don't like it, but we keep going, don't we? Hey, got a letter from a good friend over in Latvia, Ivars, and I won't tell you his last name because he could be punished over there. Latvia, of course, that country now supposedly is independent. It was owned by the Soviet Union since the days before World War II. Remember that Joseph Stalin and the communists, with the approval of the United States and Great Britain, attacked the Baltic republics, the countries Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, as well as Finland, and actually attacked Poland and took half of Poland too. And invading all those countries, you would have thought we would have declared war on that monster Stalin, but no, we didn't. But when Hitler went in and attacked the other half of Poland, we declared war on him, that horrible person. If we don't stop Hitler now, he'll take over all of Europe and all the world. Isn't that interesting? We began World War II because Hitler invaded Poland. But the other half of Poland had already been invaded by the Russians and captured, along with Finland and Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia and so forth. And Churchill and Roosevelt just let their Uncle Joe take it all. And, of course, after World War II, our good friend Winnie Churchill, Prime Minister of England, and our erstwhile President Roosevelt, and then later Harry Truman, gave half the world more to the communists under Stalin and Mao Zedong. Isn't it an amazing thing? I mean, Stalin and Lenin had concentration camps, gulag camps, set up in Russia and all of these countries in the east of Europe and Asia 10 years before Hitler even came to power. They already had concentration camps blowing and going, torturing and killing people. And you know, the American press didn't say one word about it. Everybody was just happy. Aren't those communists wonderful? Mm-mm-mm. You know why? Because they were Jews. They were Jews. Vladimir Lenin was a Jew. Trotsky was a Jew. Karl Marx was a Jew. So it was all covered up. The most monstrous regime in history covered up by the American press. Well, Ivars wants to tell us about it now. But he said he's got a problem. He writes to me and says, "Dear Tex, I love the job you're doing. Thank you for enlightening people all over the world and educating us. I come from the country of Latvia. This country has changed so much. We were controlled by the Russians, but really behind the scenes," he says, "it was the Jews. They ran the KGB secret police. They control Latvia. Now communism supposedly is dead, but the Jews still run Latvia. Wow. And we have scandals, scandals, scandals here. Everywhere the people have lost everything. The only business owners are Jews. 75% of all private businesses in Latvia belong to Jews. And they're all criminals. Nothing has changed in this country. Don't believe what you read in your American press. I call this the six-sided star evil. The six-sided star evil. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? The Jews are only a tiny part of the population of Latvia, but they control the whole country. And my good friend Ivars wrote and told me about that. But I knew that. Then I get a letter from Steve, writing me here in the United States, Mineral, Washington. He says, "Dear Tex, I want to tell you about a man named Mark Hitchcock. I went to a conference to hear him. He's author of the new book, Iran, The Coming Crisis." Well, this guy is a dud. He's got a PhD degree and a DD degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. Okay. But he doesn't have any insight to the Middle East and Persian affairs. This guy has no clue on Iran's people, geography, or history, and he should not be writing a book on this subject. I believe these neocons drink from the same disease stream and feed off of each other. Well, you're absolutely right, Steve. They do. And this is the problem. If it's an enemy of Israel, they hate it. They hate all the Arabs. They hate Iran. That's why John McCain, that's why John Hagee, they want all the Iranians dead. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran, says Senator John McCain. They don't love people. They don't want to love people in life. They want to kill them, Steve. You and I know that. And Mark Hitchcock is just like, he's another one of these dispensationalist so-called Christians. Give everything to the Jews and kill all the Arabs. Now that's real Christian, isn't it? That is really, really Christian. That's real Jesus, isn't it? What a pitiful thing. Well, Francis writes me. Actually, Sharon, but she's from the website of Francis. "Dear Mr. Mars, I wonder how good your memory is." Well, Sharon, it's not always the best, but anyway, okay. She says, "We last spoke by email about 9 years ago, not long after Princess Diana was murdered in Paris. At that time, I was living and working in London, and I had written a book on the occult symbolism of Diana's murder. I wonder if you remember me." Well, Sharon, my memory does serve me well, and that was a fantastic book that you wrote about the occultic symbolism in Diana's murder. "Well, Tex, you were very kind and encouraging about my book," she says. "And I think I was fortunate enough to find an old book on the Rothschilds that contained many photographs, which I sent to you. I wonder if your memory is jogged yet." Yes, it is, Sharon. Thank you so much for that book about the Rothschilds. "Anyway," she says, "I've been pleased over the years to see your work go from strength to strength. And I am very interested in the content of your website. You're absolutely correct in what you're saying on the web. Well, after many revisions, I have now redone my Diana manuscript. I am convinced that Diana and Dodi were murdered in a Zionist satanic plot. Did you know about the law called the Din Rodif, a law which states in the Babylonian Jewish Talmud that somebody can be killed if they are A, thought to present a threat to Israel, and B, if they are pursued to their death? Diana and Dodi were, of course, pursued to their deaths in Paris. Let me know if you remember me and what you think about my conclusions on the Diana murder." Well, Sharon, first of all, I do remember you. Thank you very much for writing me. And I look very much forward to seeing your new book on the Diana murder. If you want to send me the manuscript or whatever, I'd like to see it. And perhaps we can offer it here in the ministry to our people. Because there's no doubt now, in my mind, that this was a Zionist satanic plot. and the royal family were involved through Scotland Yard and MI 15 and 16, the military intelligence of Great Britain, and they worked hand in glove with the CIA and the French intelligence, and Diana never had a chance. And everything was done in an occult ritual. And Sharon is absolutely right. All of this occult symbolism, we could do 3 or 4 programs just on the occult symbolism. And you know, poor Princess Diana, she knew she was going to be murdered. She had a news conference, and she said, "They're going to kill me. They're planning to kill me." And the reporter asked her, "Well, how do you think it's going to happen?" She says, it'll probably be an auto crash, and they'll make it look like an accident. Now imagine, Diana told the news media, I saw it on the interview myself, she said, "This is how they're going to do it. They're going to kill me. It'll be an auto crash, and they'll make it look like it was an accident." And then it happens, and everybody says, "Oh no, there's no conspiracy." Oh my. Well, Doris wrote to me, very interesting email. She said, "This is unbelievable." She said, "Did you know that if an immigrant is over 65, they can apply for SSI and Medicaid and get more than my mom gets for Social Security? And she worked for 60 years as an American citizen. She is only getting $791 a month. But a refugee, an immigrant, gets a total of $2,470 a month." Now, friends, I'm going to stop right there. Doris asked me, she said, "This is unbelievable, but it's true." And you know what? It is true. Let me explain this. You see, Congress passed a little-known law about 10 years ago. And under this law, if you are a Jew, now let me, did you hear me say that? If you are a Jew and you come from any country in former Eastern Europe or Russia, you can get refugee status. Now you can be a rich Jew. You can own businesses, stocks. You can, as long as you come to America and you say, "I'm a Jew. I come from Kazakhstan. I come from Belarus. I come from Latvia, I come from Lithuania, I come from Russia. Give me money." They will give you money. But wait, this person has never put in any money to the American Social Security system. Doesn't matter. They'll be given a refugee status. And then they can get a total of $2,470 a month. Now, let's say a man and his wife decide they don't want to live in Russia anymore. So they come to America to live. And they'll get in America. You see, they don't have to wait for a quota because they're Jews. Jews do not wait for quotas. As many Jews as want to can come live in America. And once they live here, they go down to the local immigration service and they say, "I'm a refugee." Okay. And they stamp their little paper. And then a man and his wife, for example, can go down and each of them say, "I want to apply for my SSI and my Medicaid, my Social Security and assistance." And each one of them will get $2,470 a month. Together, that's a total of $4,930 a month. That's almost $60,000 a year. The Russian or the Latvian or the Lithuanian or the Polish or the Romanian couple get $60,000 a month from the government because they're Jew and they're going to live here forever. But if you're an American, this woman, she says, my mom worked for 60 years. She only gets $791 a month. That's about what, $9,500 or so a year. She gets less than $10,000. They get $60,000, and they're Russian citizens. They're not even Americans. They don't even have American citizenship. How did it happen? Did you know that a number of congressmen now have introduced legislation so that Jewish veterans can get all VA benefits, even military retirement pay? Now, I want to explain something to you. When I say Jewish veterans, I don't mean Jewish American veterans. I mean Jewish Russian veterans. Let's say that you were a Russian soldier and you retired as a Russian, maybe a sergeant or a captain in the Russian military, and your race is Jew and you come to America to live. They have introduced legislation, certain senators and congressmen, that that person will get military retirement paid for by the Department of Defense of the United States for the rest of their life, even though they never served one day in American uniform, never saluted the American flag one time in their life. In fact, they may have run gulag concentration camps and killed people over in Russia, because after all, those people were never prosecuted. Only people who ran German concentration camps and worked in them as guards, only they are prosecuted. If you're a Russian Jew and you were a commandant of a Stalinist, a Leninist concentration camp, you were never prosecuted, and you can come live in America. And now our congressmen have the audacity to say, while these people served in the Russian military, they should get military retirement from the American military for the rest of their life, VA benefits, medical and so forth, for serving communism all those years. This is the kind of America we're moving into, dear friends. And I'm here to warn you about it. These are secrets nobody will tell you about, but these things are happening here in America. And Social Security, remember the totalization plan that Bush has? And they've already put that into effect. If you're a Mexican illegal alien, you can come here to America and get Social Security for the rest of your life. Doesn't it just make you mad? Of course it does. Then I get this letter from the sweet lady, Bertie, who writes to me. She says, "Dear Tex, I am a born-again Christian from New Zealand, and I got your DVD entitled The Tower of Infamy, but it sounds like you are against the Jews. I believe it is very dangerous to speak out against God's people, the Jews. Would you please give some clarity on that?" Now, let's get this straight, Bertie. You're a sweet lady, but let's get this straight. You believe that it's dangerous to speak out against the Jews? Now, first of all, you say because they're God's people. Okay, now let's take the average Jew. The average Jew says Jesus is not the Lord. Jesus is an imposter. And you say that's God's people? Bertie, have you got a screw loose somewhere? Something wrong with your brain? I think something's wrong with your heart. You've been lied to. God's chosen people are those who believe in Jesus Christ. And they're of every race, every color. Don't you get it, Bertie? You must be born again like you were born again. But here's what I don't understand. You say, I'm a born-again Christian from New Zealand. If you're a born-again Christian, are you one of God's people? You say, oh no, that's just the Jews. Then you're denying Christ. And Christ says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Now I know, Bertie, you're going to say, well, I'm a Gentile Christian. Really? Now let me get this straight. You're a Gentile Christian, but you haven't been chosen by God. You believe in Jesus, and you're a Gentile Christian, but you're not one of God's chosen. Well, what are you? One of Satan's chosen? You've got me confused, Bertie. You see, the Bible is not that complicated. Jesus said, if you believe that I am He, you will live forever. He didn't say, if you're a Gentile or a Jew, you'll live forever. If you believe in Jesus, that's all it takes. You're Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. Bertie says, I don't believe that. I'm not Abraham's seed. I'm a Gentile. Oh, then you don't believe Galatians 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Bertie, you're very, very confused. Let me clear it up for you. Forget your racism. You are a racist, Bertie. Because you have exalted one race, the Jews, above all others by even claiming that they're God's chosen people. God's chosen people are whoever believe in His Son, Jesus. Could be a Jew. Could be a Mexican. Could be a Hawaiian. Could be a German. A Pole. An American. A Heinz 57. God is no respecter of persons, Bertie. Oh, my. Don't you get it, Bertie? Jesus came so that all could be saved. Whosoever believeth. Let's see now. Are the Gentiles covered in the whosoever? Or is it only the Jews? Whosoever believeth. Whosoever. I was talking to a pastor some time ago. He said, Tex, have you ever got out Strong's Concordance? You know, it lists all the words that are in the Bible and how many times they're listed in the Bible. He said, have you ever gone and looked for the word whosoever? Over and over, God says, whosoever will may come. And then we have these ignorant, uninformed people who say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not God's chosen. Well, then you're not whosoever. And you know what, Bertie? Maybe you're not God's chosen. If you don't understand that key concept, that it's not race, it's grace. Let me say it again. You cannot be saved by race. You can only be saved by grace. That is, the love of God saves you. Every person who is a Jew who rejects Jesus will be in hell. So they have been chosen for hell. But let me hasten to say, every Gentile who rejects Jesus will be right there living with them. If you can call that living. Well, let's move on to another subject here. I get that all the time from people. They don't understand. Somebody wrote to me recently and they said, I was listening to John Hagee and you know, he actually made sense, Tex. He said Jesus didn't really come to be Messiah of the Jews. He's only the Messiah for the Gentiles. That's why the Jews don't need to believe in him. Well, another person wrote to me and said, Tex, you need to get John Hagee's new book, In Defense of Israel. Did you get that? His new book is entitled, this is Pastor John Hagee from Cornerstone Church, TBN pastor from San Antonio. Hagee in his new book, In Defense of Israel. Notice it's not in defense of Jesus. It's in defense of Israel. That's the title. And he says in that book, he has a whole chapter saying Jesus didn't come to be Messiah of the Jews. I was thinking about that. And you know, let me say something that may shock you. But let's say that I just believe like Hagee did. Like all these dispensationalists, Baptists, Pentecostals, whatever they are, they all say this. Same thing. The Jews are God's chosen people whether they believe in Jesus or not, they say. Jesus doesn't have to be their Messiah. They're still God's chosen, and that's his chosen nation. It'll always be that way. That's what they say. Now I'm thinking about it. Let's say that I decided to be a disciple of Hagee. Let's say I believed in Hagee. Here's what I'd have to conclude. Peter, the Apostle Peter, was a raging idiot. What a jerk. What an idiot that Peter was. Can you imagine that stupid man? He preached Jesus to the Jews. He didn't need to. They didn't need Jesus. Besides that, Jesus wasn't even their Messiah. And that stupid Apostle Peter and the other apostles there in Jerusalem had the stupidity to preach to them. And then the Sanhedrin called him in and said, Peter, you and the others can't be preaching this Jesus. Not only that, you're putting the blood of Jesus on our backs. You're blaming us for his death. How dare you? We demand you stop. And you know, they beat Peter. They beat him. They flogged him. And you know what? That stupid man answered him and said, we must obey God and not man. Obey God? God doesn't want you to preach to the Jews. That's what John Hagee said. You stupid man, Apostle Peter, for preaching to the Jews and getting beaten for your efforts. They put the lashes on your back and deservedly so. You were preaching to men and women who didn't need preaching to. Oh, that Peter. Oh, my, what an idiot. John Hagee's right. All these preachers out there, James Dobson, all of them are right. Bertie, you're right, too. They're God's chosen. Don't preach to them. Why? Give them money. Give them armaments. Help them to kill all the Arabs, but don't preach to them. They don't need Jesus. He's not their Messiah. He's the Messiah of the Gentiles. Do you believe that, friends, what I just said? Or do you think Tex Mars is a liar? Well, I can tell you right now, I just lied to you. See, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe anything I just told you. I think Peter was led by the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He preached Jesus because Jesus died on the cross for every man, woman, and child on this planet. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus Christ came so that all may live. He doesn't have any specials. There's no race. Oh, he will judge the nations. He'll judge Israel. He'll judge America. But he offers salvation to every living person. And thank God for Peter. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for all the apostles. And you know what? There was a church there at Jerusalem. That's right. You see, there were a number who did believe. Who did believe. And when I go to heaven someday, praise Jesus, they're going to be there with me. There's going to be Jews in heaven. There's going to be Gentiles in heaven. Well, no, that's not true. Because we're not going to think of ourselves as Jews or Gentiles. And we're not going to have these fleshly bodies. We're not going to have any DNA. We're not going to be saying, I'm of this nation or that nation. There's only one people. God's people. God's chosen people in heaven. Bertie, when you bless God's chosen people, you're blessing Jesus and he's going to reward you. And that's what I do. I expose all evil. I don't care what race. I don't distinguish and I don't discriminate based on race. It's all the same to me. And it's the same to Jesus. A lot of people don't believe that, of course. But I do. John Hagee, you're headed for hell, my friend. So are you other dispensationalists if you don't change. If you really love Jews, preach to them. Preach Jesus to them. He's the Messiah for every living soul. Hey, Jenna wrote a book. That's right. Boy, she was on the front cover of Texas Monthly. She's been on Good Morning America. Everywhere they prettied her all up. The last picture that came out some years ago showed her sticking out her tongue looking like some kind of a fool. But now Jenna Bush has been rehabilitated and she's written a book. Well, she didn't really write it. She claims she did. But my sources told me she had a ghostwriter. That's right. They don't write their own books, folks. They don't. Celebrities don't write their own books. And this is a book about a little girl named Anna who had an HIV-positive mother down in Latin America. Oh, my. She's written a book about little Anna. They're rehabilitating her. They're going to make her into a star. She might even go into politics someday. By the way, on TV, I heard Jenna explain that she doesn't agree with her father. She doesn't believe in sexual abstinence. She believes in safe sex. Just use condoms. And in her book, that's what she tells people. AIDS is everywhere, and you can get AIDS. So you've got to have safe sex. Be sure to use a condom. But your father says he doesn't believe in that. He believes in abstinence. She says, yes, I don't agree with my dad. I believe in having safe sex, says Jenna Bush. Hey, we've got a lot more secrets for you when we return in just a minute. Stay with us. I want to talk about George Bush's giving the sign of El Diablo, the devil. It's been everywhere. And I want to talk to you, maybe Morgellons. We'll talk about President Bush's homosexual lover. You say, what? That's right. We'll be talking about that. And the head of the Border Patrol says our job is not to stop illegals. Didn't we already know that? This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to A Volume of Secrets right here on Power of Prophecy, going out across the world on Worldwide Christian Radio. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Morris. Well, I'm going to talk to you about one of my favorite topics, and that's the Children's Home, the Texas Children's Home in Round Rock, Texas, that we support. Now, so many of you have been good to give to this great cause, and I want to emphasize again that every cent you give to the cause of the Children's Home will go to the Children's Home. There's really two different ways this helps. There's a boys' ranch in Brenham, Texas, just right down the road from us here in Austin, a boys' ranch. And it's helping these young boys, and they come from troubled homes and so forth, helping them know about Jesus Christ and living a good and decent life. And friends, you're building character. You're building a spiritual truth in the life of these young boys at the boys' home. At the same time, we also have other children that are there in Round Rock, Texas, and they're caretakers, Christian caretakers, that help them out, help sometimes entire families. They have fathers in prison. They have fathers who've been arrested for dope pushing, dope possession, or for murder even in some cases. And they had no home, and they took the mother and the children in. And you know, I'm not too easy on criminals. And if they're in prison, they probably deserve to be there. But the children? Oh, friends, we've got to save these kids. And I believe in that with all my heart. You know, some years ago, Wanda came to me and she said, Tex, we're not doing enough for children. We're not doing enough. And she really pricked my heart. And I said, you know, you're right. She said, we're sending Bibles and Christian books and so forth into prisons. And we're helping out there. And we're sending Bibles overseas to missions. And we're giving funds to help mission projects. But we're not doing enough for children. And you know, I said, you know, you're right. I'm a grandparent. I care about these kids. So we started our Texas Children's Home project. And one of the principles is that we give, this year we're giving in two ways. One, we give money direct to the Texas Children's Home because they have salaries and they have facilities and utilities they've got to pay and food they've got to buy. And we know that they've got expenses. And at the same time, we also give a gift to the children themselves, directly to the children. Now, it may not be much. It may be a gift certificate. They can go to Walmart. And believe me, they don't buy video games and all those other things. I believe they buy useful things. Because a lot of these kids, they don't have what you and I have, dear friends. They don't get showered with Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and all of that. And these are essentials. And you're doing a great thing in helping us out with this Texas Children's Home. And we just keep the project going, and it's been, I don't know, Sandra, she's our project person. She's also producer for this radio show. She's here in the studio with me. How many years have we been doing this Children's Home? Sandra's been with us, by the way, over 15 years herself here working in the ministry. And how many years have we been doing this? Over 10 years? I think so, over 10 years. Let's see. Ever since we've been in this building, I believe we've been doing it. Is that right?
Not sure.
Not sure of that. Yeah, well, Sandra, you were with us at the other building we had over Quezon Circle in Austin. Yeah, we've been here now about 12 years, I think, 11 or 12 years, this location. By the way, folks, we own the building we're in. We own 1708 Patterson Road. I believe it's very important we not owe anybody. And you know, this ministry, we don't owe anybody. We don't have any debts of any kind. We pay our bills regularly and on time. Everybody that works with us, the printers, the people who reproduce our tapes, I think they're pretty well shocked. You know, a lot of Christian ministries have bad reputations for not paying bills. And I don't believe in that. I think you can be a witness by being fair and honest with people. And that's what we do in this. Every cent that you give goes into the Children's Home. And you know, we invite the IRS or anybody else to come in and audit our books, because they're going to find out that's exactly what happens. Now this year we've given money too. We gave money to Heritage Church, you know, Pastor Otwell's church out in East Texas. They're doing great things in their community, helping feed the hungry and so forth there. And we usually about once a year give to them. And then we also gave this year to the Armenian Christian Outreach Program out in California. I visited that place, and let me tell you, I was so impressed with the Armenian American Christian Outreach that we have given money from Power of Prophecy Ministries to that group as well. You know, I visited a Brother Bedros there, and he has a ministry, and they're right downtown in Glendale, California. And they every place where he's at has just about has bars, iron bars on the windows. I said, what are these iron bars doing? He said, well, this is the bad part of town. You know, they have the drunks and the hobos and the homeless walking around here, and you have a window, they're going to break into it and steal what you have. He says, but we're open 24 hours a day. And I met a man when I walked right in. There was a guy sitting there. It was helping out as a receptionist. He was dressed nice. He was looking good. And, you know, he was shaven, and he looked about 40 years old. Very clean-cut man. And he was studying a college textbook. You know, he was helping out with the phone there. He was a volunteer. And Pastor Bedros introduced the man. And I said, do you work here full-time? He said, no, I'm a volunteer. I said, oh, okay. I said, how did you start volunteering for this ministry? He said, oh, well, I'm one of the ones that they saved. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, Brother Tex. He said, let me tell you, I was right there out on that street. I was a bum. I was on drugs. I was on alcohol. And he said, and one night, Pastor Bedros came to get me in jail. And he said, I was in jail. And he said, I saw you on the street. And he got out his Bible, started preaching to me. And I said, well, he said, you want to know about Jesus? And I said, well, what can he do for me? He said, he can get you off the street. I said, well, I'll talk to anybody that can get me off the street. He said, well, then let's talk to Jesus. And Pastor Bedros introduced me to Jesus. That changed my life. And then he went and talked to the judge and got me out of jail. I said, really? He says, yeah. And he said, he turned my life around. And he said, and now I'm in my final semester of college, 40 years old. Wow. Let me tell you something. Imagine you're a no good high school dropout living on the street, a drugger, no good for nothing. The cops come and get you because you're loitering, and they take you to jail. And there comes a man that comes in that says, I want to introduce you to a friend, Jesus. Change your life. He says, now I volunteer to help other people. And I'm studying because, you know, I've got college work to do too. And boy, was I ever impressed. Can you imagine? Changed his life. And that's what Pastor Bedros does. Now, Pastor Bedros did have a problem there with the local authorities. You see, they told him, you can't say Jesus is the only way anymore and visit our jail. Can you believe that? He'd been going to jail for years preaching to the inmates there. And then they came out and sent him a letter and said, we understand that you're telling inmates that Jesus is the only way for salvation in heaven. Well, that offends people here. Some of our prisoners are Buddhist and others are Muslims. You can't say that anymore. Well, Bedros went down and saw the sheriff, and he went to see the chief of police, and he went to see the judges, and he said, I don't know what you're trying to tell me here, but I'm going to keep preaching Jesus. And you're going to have to put me in jail to stop me. And he still kept doing it. He kept preaching Jesus, even though they said you can't do it anymore. You see how the world's turning, friends? Well, we're going to start helping out Brother Bedros' ministry. And back to this children's home, though. Would you like to give to the children's home? If you do, every cent. Now, when you give us money to the children's home, you must specify, say, Tex, this is for the children's home. Because if you give, you know, money to the ministry, we're going to use it for our ministry and for other purposes and everything. And it might go to the children's home. It might not. But if you want to give 100% of it to the children's home, then you please put a little sticky note on it or write me a letter and say, Tex, this is for the children's home. Now, you can use your charge card, too, and just call us, phone us, and say, I'd like to make a contribution to the children's home. And we keep a little tally sheet here. Sandra, you're still doing that, right? We keep those records, and every cent goes to the children's home, okay? It won't go anywhere but that. Now, some of you might say, well, I'd like to give $25 to your ministry and $25 to the children's home, a total of 50. That's just fine. But let us know how you want the money distributed, okay? And otherwise, if you send us a love gift, we're going to use it in the ministry here, okay? So, see, I didn't ask you for any money for us today. I'm not selling any book. I'm not selling any video. I just want you to know that this is an opportunity for you to give. And no administration. We're not like the Combined Way or the United Fund and all of that. We don't have any administrative overhead. We do in the ministry, that's true. But for this project, absolutely no administrative cost whatsoever. Hey, Sandra, you don't even take money out of this fund to buy your gas to go there. Okay? I mean, not a cent goes out. Okay. Everything goes direct to the children. And that's the way it should be. That's the way this fund is going to be. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Hey, we're looking at some secrets here. Amazing things are going on in the world. We have a Homeland Security director. Of course, he's Jew. All the Zionists are running the White House now. I told you that last year, didn't I? The Secretary of Treasury, he's a Jew. Mr. Chertoff, Michael Chertoff, he was a big shot in the Jewish ADL, and he still is. The Jewish ADL, what is that? They originally were founded as the B'nai B'rith Masonic Lodge of New York. Michael Chertoff is a Jewish ADL Jew, and now he's Homeland Security Director. Whoa. And by the way, Michael Chertoff is a Homeland Security Director, but did you know he's also a citizen of Israel? How can a citizen of Israel be the Homeland Security Director for the United States? Isn't that dual nationality? Uh-huh. Very few people know that Bush has gotten Israeli citizens and put them in positions of high authority in America. They're going to favor Israel over America. The Senate knew this, and they voted 98-0 to approve Chertoff. Can you believe that? And then Chertoff took the oath of office that night in a quote-unquote, private ceremony at the White House. Did you get that? What was his name? I've forgotten now. The man just disgusted me so much. John Ashcroft. When he gave his oath and was sworn in as Attorney General of the United States, did you know that he refused to put his hand on a Bible? He claimed to be a Christian, but he put his hand, I'm told, on the Jewish Talmud instead of the Bible. The Jewish holy book, the Talmud. That's not the Old Testament now. It's a totally separate piece of trash. In fact, the Talmud says that Jesus was a bastard and his mother was a whore. That's in the Jewish holy book. And John Ashcroft put his hand on the Jewish Talmud when he was sworn in, is my understanding. And Chertoff had a private ceremony where he was sworn in. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The fix is in. Well, the fix certainly in is the Vatican. You see, old Benedict, the new Pope here, Pope Benedict, says we're going to do something about all of these pedophile gay priests. So they appointed a man named, let me make sure of his name here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Monsignor Tommaso Stenico. Now, Monsignor Stenico was head of the Vatican's program to rehabilitate gay priests. Very admirable position. But unfortunately, he was outed on an Italian television program. You know, they had these hidden cameras. Mm-hmm. And the video cam caught Monsignor, that is the priest, I don't call him father, we'll just call him Monsignor Stenico, on a street corner propositioning gay men. It seems that the Monsignor was taking gay men back to his hotel room. He also frequented online gay chat rooms. Now let's get this. Get the picture here. The priest in charge of the Vatican's program, appointed personally by the Pope to rehabilitate gay priests, turns out to be a gay priest. And he was soliciting men on the corners of the streets of Rome, Italy. Oh my. Oh boy. By the way, they got the voice of the priest propositioning, making advances to a young man on the street. When the young man said, well, you're a priest, you're a Catholic priest. Isn't gay sex a sin? Priest Stanico told him, no, it's not a sin at all. He told the guy, it's not a sin to have gay sex. Boy, boy. That Catholic Church is really something, isn't it? I wonder what old Benedict does in his bedroom. Well, let's see here. Let's see if we got something else going on. Oh, yeah, in Czechoslovakia, the president, Václav Klaus, really raised a ruckus not too long ago. Here's a report from Prague from Reuters news agency. It seems that the president of Czechoslovakia, Mr. Klaus, said that fighting global warming is a hoax. There is no global warming, says Mr. Klaus. And global warming has, the fighting of it at least, he said, has turned into a religion that has replaced the ideology of communism and threatens to clip basic freedoms. The president of Czechoslovakia is a lot more intelligent than our president, quite obviously. He says that the so-called global warming is a hoax and it will cause a destructive impact on national economies to listen to the scam artists who have brought it to the fore. Wow. Mr. Klaus, if you want to be president of a real country, we sure need your help over here. Would you come over here and help us? We need somebody that makes sense in America. Boy, boy. Here's somebody who wrote me a letter. Dear Tex, I would like to know why the Jewish ADL that claims to be in the business of helping Jews has been spending most of its time, it seems, pushing for pro-gay hate crimes legislation. Well, dear friend, I can explain that. Most of the members of the ADL are no doubt gays. I don't doubt that at all. I haven't checked their sexual gender preferences recently. But you're absolutely right. The Jewish ADL is for every hate crime act that comes down the pike because they are very, very pro-gay. And by the way, the Pope, Benedict, the new one, says that he agrees with Pope John Paul II that the Jews are, quote, our elder brothers in the faith. But a rabbi has gotten a little bit angry about this. First of all, the rabbi says, we're not brothers at all with Christians. We reject their Messiah, Jesus. That's what the rabbi said. Isn't that interesting? A Jewish rabbi from Israel says the Pope is absolutely wrong. We are not the elder brothers of Christians. And then the rabbi reminded the Pope that in the Old Testament there is a consistent pattern. Now listen to this, friends. This is the rabbi teaching the Pope of Rome a little bit of Bible. Now I'm going to have to agree with the rabbi this time, because here's what he says. The rabbi points out to the Pope that in the Old Testament there is a consistent pattern of God rejecting the elder brother in favor of the younger. I want you to think about that. God always seems to choose the younger brother over the elder. Isn't that interesting? It's true. Jacob, he, you know, the Esau situation. It's always the older brother that gets it in the neck from God, and the younger brother gets favored. Oh, yeah. Read about Isaac and Jacob and Esau, all those things. You'll find out all about it. The Jews say, I don't want to be your elder brother. The younger brother is always favored. Isn't that fascinating that a Jewish rabbi has to teach the Pope what the Old Testament says? Well, somebody needs to teach George W. Bush that it's not a nice thing to be a homosexual, because George W. Bush, and I've proven it here, the White House is nothing but a bordello for gay men, and Bush is a gay man. I want to repeat that. It's an amazing story. Well, a woman has just put out a new book. Her name is Leola McConnell. And believe it or not, she was a Democratic Party candidate for governor of Nevada. And she's made some allegations about George W. Bush being a homosexual. And she's put them in a book. The name of her book is Lustful Utterances. She's even got a website, lustfulutterances.com. Imagine writing this in a book. She writes, in 1984, this is a quote, I watched George W. Bush enthusiastically and expertly perform a homosexual act on another man. One Victor Ash. Ash, she writes, is the current U.S. ambassador to Poland. He is gay. Other homoerotic acts were also performed by then private citizen George W. Bush. Leola McConnell, she's written in her book, a tell-all book. She says she was paid $15,000 for her liaison with Ash and Bush in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, friends, this is not the first time I've heard about Mr. Ash, and he is gay. He was outed for being a gay man in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He lost his job as mayor because of it, and Bush made him ambassador to Poland. And I understand when George Bush visits Europe, he always visits his friend Victor. How did he get to know Victor? Well, it seems that they were both gay lovers at Yale University, where George W. was a cheerleader. Oh, yes. They were roommates, he and Victor Ash. And then they became members of the Skull and Bones, Order of Skull and Bones. And most of the members of the Skull and Bones are gay as $3 bills. You know, like a man named John Kerry? And a man named George Herbert Walker Bush? Oh, yes. By the way, another person that's been outed, and this has been pretty well covered up by the press, and he recently has been rehabilitated by Fox News and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and all the boys at Fox News, is a man named Mr. Values of America, William Bennett. You'll remember William Bennett if you ever listened to the James Dobson Focus on the Family program, because William Bennett was his guest all the time. Well, it turns out that Bennett like to spend money in Las Vegas. He made a lot of money off the Christians by having ghostwriters write books for him. You know, like the Book of Values and all that. He had very high moral values, so high that his values and his millions of dollars brought him to Las Vegas, and Mr. William Bennett enjoyed the services of a certain dominatrix woman who liked to wear leather and liked to do kinky things with politicians for money. And Bill Bennett paid her quite a sum of money. And it has now come out, and he has admitted that he has lost up to $4 million at the gambling tables in Las Vegas. He's a high roller. Now imagine, this William Bennett, who used to be the drug czar under George Herbert Walker Bush as president. He used to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. And now he's a spokesperson for Fox News Channel. And he blew $4 million gambling in Las Vegas. And I don't know how much he paid his female dominatrix to have sex with him, kinky sex. The Republicans, they're quite a crew, aren't they? And then there's Pat Robertson. It's not a secret that he came out and has endorsed Rudy Giuliani for president. Now, Rudy Giuliani is a gay man and lived with two other gay men in a threesome in their little gay, shacked-up apartment in New York City. When this came out, when Mayor Giuliani was outed for being a gay by certain gay magazines and newsletters, there had to be, well, we've got to protect this man. We want him to be president of the United States someday. And so they went out finally and said, you've got to move out of the apartment with your gay friends, your gay lovers. And since you don't want to be married anymore to the woman you were married to because she's a lesbian and you were a gay man and she was a lesbian woman, then we've got to find you somebody new. Just turned out that there was a Jewish woman named Judith Nathan who worked in Giuliani's mayoral office. And so the Zionist promoters of Mr. Giuliani went to Miss Nathan and she says, okay, I'll marry him. And now she could be the first lady of the United States. And he married her to make it look good. Don't all gays, just like this guy from New Jersey, remember him? New Jersey Governor James McGreevy was having sex with an Israeli secret agent, Homeland Security Director. He made him Homeland Security Director of New Jersey. An Israeli secret agent. Oh, he was outed for being gay, his poor wife. Boy, she didn't know it. She was totally blindsided. But Judith Nathan knows it because not only did he live with two gay men, but Rudy Giuliani marched in all the gay pride parades. By the way, he's also anti-gun. He's anti-Second Amendment to the Constitution. Very pro-abortion. As mayor of New York, he supported laws to fund abortions. Used taxpayers' money to fund abortions. By the way, Giuliani used to be a Democrat, but in 1980, he converted, quote-unquote, to the Republican Party. That's when all the Jews said, you know what, we need our Zionist in as Republicans. We don't have enough of them. Richard Nixon almost did us in, so we need more Republicans. And all the neocons who were Trotskyites and Leninites, they all became Republicans. That's why so many Republicans are neocon Jews. They used to be liberal Democrats, but they switched. That's why there's no such things as Republicans and Democrats anymore. But back to Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson has always been owned by the Zionists. His father was as chairman of the Senate Banking Committee. And Pat Robertson is owned by the Jewish Zionists. He does whatever they tell him. And they said endorse Giuliani. And he did. But wait, Giuliani is pro-abortion. Robertson don't care. But wait, Giuliani is anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun rights. Robertson doesn't care. Giuliani is owned by the same neocon Jews that George W. Bush is owned by. Yes, he's gay. Yes, I have three pictures of the man wearing drag, wearing women's clothing and a wig. He's a transvestite drag queen gay man. And he's married this poor young Judith Nathan Jewish woman just to make it look good. And Pat Robertson has endorsed him because Pat Roberts is a Zionist agent and does whatever they tell him to do. And George W. Bush does it too. And Hillary Rodham Clinton does it too. And everybody that I know of does it except for Congressman Ron Paul. And boy, if I were him, I'd watch myself. No doubt, if he goes too far, they'll assassinate him. He needs to really watch himself. That poor guy. Let's pray for him. I pray that he does safely become president of the United States. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to another volume of Secrets here on Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.